This is The Pitch. I'm Josh Muccio. In March, as the coronavirus pandemic was crashing the economy, the U.S. government announced a program that sounded like free money. Small businesses could apply for a forgivable loan to get through the crisis if they kept paying their employees. They called it the Paycheck Protection Program, and it seemed like it was going to be a real lifeline. So business owners everywhere started racing to get their piece of the pie. And it got messy.
My bank, we intend to participate in this program. Me, what do you mean you intend to? You're my bank. Should I go to another bank? No, don't worry. We intend to participate.
What? That's Margot Shmorak, co-founder and CEO of Hostfully.
So then I call up another bank and I'm like, should I open an account with you? No, if you open an account with us, we will prioritize the customers who've had a line of credit with us for over 6 months.
Right.
So it's probably not worth it. Okay, bye. Then I go back to original bank. Hey, original bank, you guys are our only hope. You better freaking get to, can I say that? You better freaking get it together because this is a lot of money.
A lot of money is right. So far, the U.S. government has put $659 billion into the Paycheck Protection Program. Here's the thing. One of the investors on our show actually convinced one of her companies to send over $2 million back. You can hear why in a special episode that's available right now to Pitch Plus subscribers. The episode is titled, Give the Money Back. But on this episode, we're talking to three companies who were able to get the money from the Paycheck Protection Program. They've all pitched on the show before, and we're asking them two basic questions. The only two questions that matter when the economy is in crisis. Has the PPP money helped you save jobs? And has it helped save your business? That's coming up in just a moment. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We hear a lot of pitches on this show. I mean, no surprise there. It's the name of the podcast. But the entrepreneurs who come on this show, they're pitching more than just a business idea. They're pitching their dream. Because when you run a small business, you're putting your whole self into it. State Farm gets that. And they work with small business owners across the country to help create personalized plans that are built for their small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Every founder I've talked to over the last few months remembers the moment they realized COVID was going to hit their business.
I looked at him and I said, babe, do you see this? And he said, yeah. Yes. That was exactly what you said.
And a load of trouble.
That's Courtney and Ty Caldwell, the co-founders of Shearshare. And they've built an app that helps beauty salons and barbershops rent out their extra styling stations to other stylists. It's kind of like Airbnb, but for stylists. When we spoke, Courtney and Ty said that the longer everything was shut down, the more they began to worry about the future.
I didn't expect for it to last this long, and I didn't expect for it to break down and then break back into phases going back up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be one of those V-shaped recoveries. It's just going to bounce back, and we're going to keep going.
No, absolutely not a V recovery.
During this time, there was a lot going on behind the scenes for Shearshare. They just closed a $2 million seed round 2 months earlier, but they were still waiting on $1.2 million of it to actually hit the bank. And that was putting a strain on the business even before COVID. Back in February, they needed a little cash to keep Shearshare going while their VCs took their sweet time. So they decided to apply for a home equity loan for $100,000 from their bank.
Courtney and I, we own our house. And we've had a nice credit score. So went to the bank, filled out the paperwork, and got denied. Got denied on our own home that we own.
And that's crazy. Like, we own our own home. We own every asset that belongs to us. And the bank said, nah.
What?
It's all right. We're going to pass.
Yes, they denied us. And I asked the managers why. And they don't really want to tell you. I think that they're a little bit.
They can't say because you're black.
So
they just say it's high risk. We're like, but we own our home. Like, what do you mean high risk?
If we don't pay our bill, the lien is for you all to have our home.
This is a no-brainer loan for this bank to write to someone with as good a credit as you guys have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We feel like our color played a part.
Yeah.
Our race played a part.
There's nothing else that could be the answer. There's literally nothing else, Josh. Like, on paper, it would have been, like you said yourself, it would have been a no-brainer.
Without that loan and still waiting on the VC money, Courtney and Ty took another pretty drastic step. They stopped drawing a salary from the business. And that meant that they had to ask for help to cover their personal expenses.
I will say that I had a few friends to give some loans, and they were able to do that. My mother-in-law was able to...
Oh, you asked your friends and family for loans?
Yeah, my spiritual mom was able to...
Just to give us just money to, give to us, live off
just
of.
Just to live off
so
of.
That we're taking.
So that was good.
Yeah.
How much money did your friends and family give you?
Oh, it's a couple of thousand.
Yeah.
It was nothing to write home about, you know, but it meant everything, you know, in the moment.
Wow, you guys. It's been really touch and go for a couple months, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you're living in your money because the bank won't give you anything, so you got to borrow from friends.
At least we know
we weren't going to be homeless.
And then in March, COVID-19 forced salons and barbershops across the U.S. to close their doors, and Shearshare's revenues plummeted. That meant they weren't going to have enough cash to keep paying their 13 employees. Ty broke the news to the team that he wasn't going to be able to make payroll. And incredibly, the whole team decided to stay on and work for free till some money came in. It wasn't long after that Courtney and Ty first heard about the Paycheck Protection Program, forgivable loans for small businesses in crisis because of the pandemic. But the thing is, the rules for applying for the PPP were totally confusing. I remember in the beginning, it wasn't clear if startups could even get the money, but it ended up that many of them could. Luckily for Courtney and Ty, they had help from the start from one of their investors.
It may have been within hours, honestly, that one of our investors had sent across an email saying, hey, let's all jump on a virtual town hall meeting and talk you guys through what this really means.
The team at Revolution has been so beyond helpful.
Revolution Ventures, is that what they're called?
Yeah, Rise of the Rest with Steve Case.
Revolution Ventures and Rise of the Rest are funds run by Steve Case, the billionaire who co-founded AOL way back in 1985. And they were ready to help their portfolio companies figure out the details of the PPP.
They jumped on pretty quickly, and they were sharing with us the things that they were hearing.
Yeah.
Especially around what types of documents we were going to need to be thinking about. And so those conversations were very helpful in that, you know, they may have said, we don't know what they're going to ask for, but at least have these 30 documents. And they may have only needed 10 of those. But
right. That
was really good for us to be able to say, okay, we need to go ahead and collect all of this information now so that when we can press that go button, we'll have it.
Yeah.
So it's because of one of your investors, Revolution,
that
you knew what to do.
Those relationships.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks later, in late April, they got the PPP money, $39,000. Just enough to pay their employees back pay for March and cover them for April. And then the money was basically gone. Around that time, Jillian Manis called them to check in. Jillian invested in Courtney and Ty after meeting them on our show a few years ago. And when they told her everything that was going on, she wired them $50,000 so they could keep paying their employees. So it sounds like the PPP money didn't save your company on its own.
Not save, no, but it was there when we needed it.
But without the money from your friends and family, from Jillian stepping in and giving you $50,000, how do you make it?
I don't know. I don't even want to say it, Josh.
Well,
I don't even want to think
you,
it.
You don't know.
If our employees had said, hey, you know, I can't wait, I don't know what would have happened if those folks had left.
Getting the extra $50,000 was clutch for Courtney and Ty because they're still waiting on $1.2 million from their investors. But all during this time, they had another problem weighing heavy on their shoulders. Shearshare's customers, the people who own beauty salons and barbershops across the country, many of them haven't been able to work for months.
People were calling in, even if it was just like a crying session, to be honest, Josh. Like, some people would call in and be like, I'm a shop owner and I have no idea what to do and this is my issue. People are asking us, you know, what can I do next and how can I get money in my account right now in order to feed my family?
Yeah.
And when you have so many people calling in or writing in and asking your team that same question over and over and over again, you all of a sudden put your cares and concerns and the challenges that are top of mind for your well-being, mm-hmm. kind of push those aside, because there are so many other people who need what you desperately have. And we knew that we could at least get information out to them.
Right. You're like, we just got our PPP money and here are the steps we used to get it. You can follow the same roadmap.
That's exactly what we did. And we're so happy to say that over 100 people who were first denied for their original PPP application, we helped them secure PPP funds afterwards, the second attempt.
You helped 100 of your customers get PPP loans who had been previously denied?
Yes, sir. We sure did.
Whoa.
I love that. I love that. If I don't do anything else this year, I'm good.
Courtney and Ty knew they were fortunate. They cut through the red tape to get a PPP loan because they had a big name investor in their corner. So they turned right around and shared that knowledge with a bunch of their customers, mostly Black-owned salons and barbershops. And those are business owners who needed help. A survey published in May found that only 8% of African-American business owners that had applied for federal relief or assistance actually received the money. Now, Ty and Courtney say that by helping their customers get PPP loans, they've actually seen increased engagement on their app, and that with salons and barbershops opening back up in some places across the country, they're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. The bottom line, the PPP money helped save jobs and it helped save the company, but it certainly wasn't enough all on its own. They had help from two sets of investors, friends, family, and their employees who worked for free for a while. So the PPP was just one piece of the puzzle. Coming up, a surprising effect the PPP money had on one startup, how getting a PPP loan can actually help you raise your next round. That's coming up in just a minute.
This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. As rewarding as it may be, small business owners have a lot riding on their shoulders. It's a lot of stress to own, run, and grow your small business, not to mention finding someone who can give you the answers and support you need. But State Farm agents aren't just there to understand your small business needs. They're there to prioritize them and help create personalized plans with your needs in mind. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. Small business owners know that it's not just business, it's personal. Your business is your life, and State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know what it takes. They can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. And they live and work in your community, so you're not just getting an insurance plan, you're getting that personal touch. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Welcome back. After speaking with Courtney and Ty about ShareShare, we started wondering, what if your startup was laying people off even before the pandemic? Could the PPP help turn things around? So we got in touch with Tina Hedges, founder and CEO of Lolly Beauty. It's an organic, zero-waste skincare company. 2019 was a rough year for Tina. To cut costs, she had to lay off all of her employees except for one. And when she tried to raise a seed round, no one was interested.
I found myself in that incredible vortex that startups do where I have enough success to prove something, but I'm not doing 2 million annual revenue year over year kind of situation.
So going into the COVID crisis, Tina only had a couple months of runway. She's got a small team, just one employee plus a few part-time freelancers. And she told producer Heather Rogers that if she got the money, it might be the only thing that could keep her business from going under.
Our reality is how we're going to scramble to stay alive. So really getting this capital, you know, every dollar counts to giving us runway. Mm-hmm. Getting PPP loan, that's potentially a month or more of run rate.
Tina applied for the PPP, and eventually her loan for $42,000 came through. Tina knew that she had to use most of the money for payroll, but when she talked to Heather in late May, she didn't know how she was supposed to use the rest of the money.
if you want forgiveness, you have to spend the money in 7 to 8 weeks, although now there's rumors that they may extend that, but we don't know if they're going to extend it.
Right. And you have to spend 75% of it on payroll.
75% on payroll. But what else qualifies for that extra 25%? Because of the rules around how you have to use it in the time period you have to use it, it's not free money, and it's not money that is like an extra cushion.
Because you can't use it however you want. You have to use it in this really specific way.
Correct.
This was confusing for a lot of business owners, not just for Tina. Turns out, if you want the loan to be forgiven, you have to use the money on fixed expenses like rent, utilities, and interest on mortgages. And then the rules changed. Now you have more time to spend the money, and you can spend less of it on payroll. So a few weeks after we initially spoke with Tina, Heather called her back for an update. And come to find out, she had put two of her contract employees on payroll.
And how is that working out?
It's fundamental. Everything from helping me with direct marketing to customer service to ops.
So the money created jobs that are helping your company right now.
Correct. But it's not saving my business by giving me additional runway.
So maybe it's got some short-term effects, but the long-term effects don't seem to be materializing.
Correct.
So did the PPP money save Tina's business? For the time being, yeah. But Lolly Beauty wasn't really doing well before COVID, and she's still struggling now. Did the PPP money save jobs? Well, Tina converted two contractors to full-time employees with the money, but those jobs will only last as long as the cash does. So both companies we've heard from so far, the money helped them a little, but their businesses are still both on the edge. And then we talked to a founder where the PPP money helped her business in a really unexpected way. Remember Margot Shmorak from the top of the episode? She was the one trying to get a straight answer from her bank. Well, she ended up getting almost $160,000 for her business, Hostfully. It's a platform that Airbnb hosts use to manage reservations. Immediately after she got the money, she made a big software engineer hire, someone she'd been eyeing for a while. And then another part-time developer, she bumped him up to full-time. And the two of them have already done a lot for the business.
I can already see in 30 days from now, we will have really stepped ahead with our innovation and our product. That would not have happened had we not gotten that money.
And how has that helped your business?
I would say that's like it allows us to build some semblance of getting on track.
And getting on track was critical for Margot because she was also in the middle of a $1 million fundraise during a pandemic. Do you think it means you raised less money from investors than you would have otherwise?
No, I actually think we raised more money from investors because of it.
What?
It's like the PPP loan was, it's not so much about the money for investors. What it is, it's a demonstration of how solvent your business is. It's like, can you get your shit together enough to apply for this program in short order and have your finances in good shape so that you can like just do better for your business? They put it in the bucket of like, is this business doing everything it can to grow?
So getting a PPP loan was a signal to investors that Hostfully was solid. Within a couple weeks, Margot had closed the round. But that PPP money did something even more fundamental.
Startups are oriented towards growth and fast decision-making and looking ahead, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is what our investors want. That is what we want. That is what our employees want. That's what our customers want.
Yeah.
And I think the coronavirus, it did this really like uncomfortable thing for startups, including us psychologically, which is it forced us to like actually go backwards. And for the 3 weeks or 4 weeks that we couldn't think like a startup without the PPP, it was devastating. And it felt like a downward spiral thought process, right? Because as soon as you start telling people on your team, go backwards and tighten up, like they start thinking smaller. So then They start thinking, I really shouldn't do something that's risky because it's not in the best interest of the company.
Right.
What I feel the PPP money did is it allowed us to change the orientation of the business, like more forward looking again. Now it's like, okay, what are the new features that our customers need us to deliver? And like, where do we want to be by next year? And it just allowed us to just keep the arrow pointing in the same direction that it had been before.
Yeah. It allowed you to act like a startup again.
Exactly.
to hit the outcome you need to, you have to be taking risks always.
Risks, exactly.
Like, that's how this game works.
But if you feel like you're cash strapped, you're not going to do that, right? You're going to be hesitant to make a decision. Then you're not going to learn anything. Like, the whole thing just kind of falls apart.
After talking to these founders and many others over the last few months, it does seem like the PPP can delay layoffs. But when the money runs out, those jobs are in jeopardy again, like with Shearshare. Can the PPP save a company? From what we can tell, if they were in trouble going into the pandemic, the way Lolly Beauty was, the money can help them stay afloat for a while, but that's it. On the other hand, if a company was already strong, like Hostfully, it was raising a round during a pandemic, a PPP loan can actually make you stronger. But the fact is, the PPP money was only meant to cover several weeks of payroll and bills. Back in March, there were a lot of people who thought that this would be over in a couple months. It's clear now that the effects of this pandemic will be measured in years. And the government needs to look for solutions as big as the problem. But if you listen to investor Gillian Manis, she says that the government should not be giving any help to some startups. And she even convinced one of her companies to give their PPP money back. You can hear that in a special episode that's available right now to Pitch Plus subscribers. The episode is titled Give the Money Back. You'll hear Elizabeth Yin in that episode too. She's got a provocative idea for how the money could have actually helped workers. To listen, head on over to pitch.show/plus and sign up to support the show. You'll be able to listen to the pitch entirely ad-free and get bonus episodes like the one we dropped today. The Pitch is hosted by me, Josh Muccio, produced by Heather Rogers, Chris Neary, and Muna Danish. We are edited by Sarah Saracen. Original compositions from Brickmaster Cylinder, The Musemaker, Peter Leonard, Emma Munger, and So Wiley. We are mixed by Enoch Kim. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with a brand new episode in 2 weeks. See you then. This episode of The Pitch was brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you can tell every business owner has a unique set of problems to solve. That's why small business owners want someone to not only understand, but prioritize their needs. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know how to help you choose personalized plans to fit your needs and budget. They get it, plain and simple. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.